Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, friends. My name is Stephen Lewis, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, psychic medium and hermetic astrologer Stephen Frampton will interview Layla Briggs on the intriguing topic of gifted children. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Hello, Dr. Nona Marie Foyer. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, Stephen. I'm looking forward to the show. I can't wait to hear this topic. I'm so excited about hearing about raising gifted children, and I think it will help a lot of people. So,
I think it will too. I think it could also help all of us adults maybe to learn how to be gifted children in our daily lives. But Steve's definitely going to have a lot to say about that here in a bit. Before he does, though, would you mind sharing with us what you do over at PsychicAccess.com?
I would love to do that. I work with very talented psychics at Psychic Access. I do predictive readings. I do pet readings. I do some spirit contact work as well. And I use numerology when I can, and otherwise just listen directly to my guides.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. We'd like to remind everybody that you can find Dr. Nona Marie Foyer at PsychicAccess.com. We have also here with us tonight Lauren. How are you doing, Lauren?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so glad that you could join us tonight. We're very happy to have you here. I would love it if you could share with myself and everybody listening what some of your psychic specialties are over at PsychicAccess.com.
Well, I would like to say I'm a psychic medium. I'm very empathic, so I feel, hear, see, sense. I'm a little bit of all of it. I specialize in angel readings. So when people call in, it's really just connecting to spirit and their energy linking in. And that's really pretty much how I do my readings.
Angel readings. That sounds very interesting. Angel readings. Can you elaborate just a little bit on that, please?
Yeah.
I'm interested in hearing that.
No, it's what I know a lot of people do tarot, and they're so wonderful at that. The angel side connects me. I see them, I hear them, I feel them. So it could just be if I'm doing the angel cards, almost kind of like a tarot, but they're broader. So bringing those in. I'll use four decks, and then I'll throw the tarot on top. The angel readings are more, I think, coming from your guides and your angels for information that you're needing.
Very nice. Very nice. I would like to remind everyone that you can find Lauren over at PsychicAccess.com. And tonight's topic is gifted children. We've heard sometimes some of these children referred to as indigo children, and things of that sort. Tonight's guest is Layla Briggs. From a very young age, Layla was able to recall past and future incarnations, timelines, and other dimensions. She also easily accessed and reported from the Akashic Records. By age 10, she was adept at shamanic journeying, seeing the energetic ripple effects of life events. In her early 20s, Layla began formal training as a light worker and healer. She's dedicated her career to assisting, teaching, and healing, most important, others, and the earth with her Akashic knowledge and wisdom. She passionately dedicates her time to ensuring intuitively gifted children and their families have the support and knowledge required to move forward in a confident and healthy life. As a child, Layla was a natural channel, seeing and conversing with what some call invisible friends. She and her family learned more about spirit, and her ability to connect to other planes of existence on a daily basis. As Layla matured, she decided to dedicate her life and career to channeling, healing, and guiding others through the magic and mystery of other dimensions. Now, for more about Layla, you can find her on the web at readingsbylayla.com. That's readingsbylayla.com. And Layla, by the way, is L-E-I-L-A. Layla Briggs. And so I think this is a very important topic. We don't see too much of this in the literature. It's not getting too much awareness about, you know, what do you do if your child is psychic or some other family member is extremely intuitive or empathic or psychic. These sorts of family members require, one might think, a little bit of special handling. So we're going to get Layla onto the air here in a bit. And pretty soon we're going to have Stephen Frampton with us as well. We're just trying to get all of the communication and technology gods to smile upon us this evening, which so frequently happens. But we are getting those for you right now. Is Layla available by any chance? Is she with us yet? Not quite yet. Okay. Well, Dr. Nona Marie Foyer, while we are waiting to wire the guests through here and to get her on to the panel, you and I were talking in the moments prior to the show about the importance of raising children with a sensitivity toward their psychic capabilities. I mean, how many of us have encountered children who are special or who are gifted? And, you know, sometimes you wonder, man, without the proper instruction, you know, I fear for what will happen to that little one. And so tonight, hopefully, we'll get some special guidance on that one.
I think that's really important. I read a really painful book. It was very, very hard to read, but quite phenomenal as well. I believe it's called Pony Boy, and it was about a family, I think, in California that had a severely autistic child, just violently autistic. And as a last resort, they journeyed to Mongol to see if they had heard of a shaman that lived out in the Mongolian hills somewhere that supposedly could help him. Right. And they finally meet this the shaman, and the part that I fell apart when I read this part is the shaman looked at the parents and said, I was like him. I was just like your son when I was a boy.
Awesome,
and I just totally lost it, because in certain cultures, and this is in mainstream psychology, there's a lot of research on this, that things like schizophrenia, where you see see visions and hear voices, and things like autism, where you act quite differently, you interpret the world differently, they're so often treated in other cultures as sacred gifts. And as a result, there is a 70% recovery rate, meaning that the people become normalized in society, functional. That doesn't mean they lose their gift. It just means they find a way to live with the gift in society in the so-called underdeveloped nations. And here in the United States, the head of technology, et cetera, we don't have that 70% rate. We just medicate, isolate, and shame the people and the families. And it's horrifying. Right. And reading this book about this couple that journeyed and the tears that they went into, that their child might indeed be gifted, not, you know, damaged and destroyed, it was beautiful, beautiful right. journey, hard journey. Well, and we don't have enough of that.
Right. Unfortunately, we're still trying to get Stephen Frampton here with us tonight. Again, the technology gods are not cooperating with us for that. But we do have Layla Briggs. Hi, Layla. How are you?
Hi. I'm very good. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, let's go ahead and get started. This is a very provocative topic, gifted children. First of all, I think the biggest issue that we would like to start with is, what is a gifted child? I mean, how would we define that? Is it like one of the indigo children? What are we dealing with here?
Well, to me, a gifted child is going to be a child that comes in just knowing things or having certain gifts just naturally in place. I think that as individuals, we're all capable of great gifts if we practice it, but what sets a gifted child apart is just coming in with it, and it's only going to rapidly grow as they grow. There are many names for gifted children. they have indigo, crystal, rainbow. I've even heard like violet ray children. Sometimes they're just called psychic children. But I honestly think that it's just a child that comes in with psychic gifts, intuitive gifts, healing gifts, and no one has taught it to them. No one here physically. They just come in knowing it. They also have high intelligence sometimes, and just a whole array of gifts, and they just come in with it.
I'm curious because you know you're describing all of these different categories of gifted children, and they all seem to be tied into the concept of electromagnetism, some sort of a color. You know, I was joking before the show about, you know, how there might be a electric neon swirl kid or something of that nature. But I'm curious, I wonder why these states, these elevated states of being in children might be compared to these electromagnetic phenomena, color, indigo children, or, you know, things of this nature. You have any speculation why that might be?
I think that some of it is actually like what you would consider rainbow children. Right. I think we actually bleed into all the little subcategories, but a rainbow child really does connect with color and can use color to heal others, use color to communicate. So I think it actually probably, whether we realize it or not, as a society, we intuitively know that, yes, absolutely, they are connecting to colors, they're connecting to energy lines, electromagnetic, and we probably pick those names intuitively knowing that.
Well, you know, running with this metaphor or this comparison with light and electromagnetism, you know, if light doesn't have any boundaries, it'll spread out and fill up the space that it's in. I'm thinking with these children, these gifted children, I would imagine that, and one of my co-hosts here, Lauren, she is responsible for this idea, that there's an elevated need for boundaries with the indigo children so that their gifts can somehow manifest in a, perhaps, I don't know, in a structured way. What do you think about that concept?
Well, I think that's an amazing comparison with light, because I think that's an important thing to bring up. I think ultimately what these children are doing is moving us from an energy of fear and moving us into love and light, what we consider light, what we consider truth, what we consider the divine. So I think that's a beautiful comparison, because I think that's exactly what they're doing. In terms of boundaries, are you talking about, you know, actual structured family life to help them grow with their abilities? Is that what you're asking?
That's part about what I'm asking. I suppose boundaries is a rather generic term, and I would imagine it could probably manifest as parents setting rules, also the child going out and meeting resistance and restriction and rejection in life, those sorts of boundaries. You know, I can't cross this line or else there will be sorts, you know, consequences and things of that nature. And so, you know, a normal child goes out and he learns about the world, I suppose, and gets boundaries in one way. But I think it, you know, for us gifted children, it must be a lot different, you know, and the process of helping that child to have the boundaries so that his gifts or her gifts can manifest in a healthy way, I think that would require a lot of knowledge on the part of the parent or the guardian or provider. And that's why I think it's important for people like you to have a voice so that, you know, these ideas can be shared with parents.
Yeah, well, I think the most beautiful thing about these children and every generation that comes in, there are no blockages or boundaries for them. They literally come in with these gifts, and there is no stopping them. You can tell them it's wrong. You can tell them it's evil. You can tell them it's unholy. You can tell them whatever you want. And the majority of them will say, oh, okay, and they'll just go find another avenue. Believe it or not, when I work with families, more times than not, it's not the children that have a hard time with the boundaries or blockages. It's the parents. Because the parents are worried about their children, they're worried about how they'll be viewed in society, and rightly so, but the child most times does not even see that, especially the younger generations. They they just know. They just come in, they know how they're supposed to be, what they need to get done, and you're either with them or you're against them. So it's actually very beautiful, but in terms of parents, I'm sure it's very nerve-wracking. I know it was very nerve-wracking for my mom, but I think that when I go out to offer support for families, it's good for the child to have someone validate and listen to them, but really what I'm offering is support to the parents. And the biggest challenge for the parents is they have to start opening up their gifts, because there's no way you can raise a child that comes in with all these abilities not knowing yourself and your own abilities, which you obviously have if you are able to carry a child with this type of energy. And that's one of the more difficult things. And a lot of times what it really becomes about is supporting the parents and letting them know that they have a community. They have someone there that when they have no idea what their child's talking about, at least they have someone to contact that can tell the child, you're okay, this is normal. And as we progress, then they actually start opening up their own abilities. And they start remembering, hey, when I was a child, I actually had a very similar experience, but I thought it was nothing. And it becomes a journey of the whole family. And when you think about how we're going to change society, how we're going to change politics, and things that just aren't agreeing with where we want to go as light workers and as healers, we need to start in the family units. And that's exactly what these children are doing, because that's going to make the biggest impact on our community, is when a family unit, a whole family unit, approaches the community and says, we need a change here. And then eventually that family unit becomes a community, and then that community has a voice, and it just keeps rippling out further and further.
I can imagine it must be extremely frustrating to have a child and to not be able to understand that child. I can imagine this must be a very frustrating sort of thing. Let's say that I come to you and I need relief on this. I have a child. I do not understand this strange little one, this strange product of my loins. Where to even begin? what would be some of the first steps that you would advise to someone if they want to get a handle on their special gifted indigo child, or whatever kind of child, rainbow indigo, that they might have?
Well, it depends on the age. If the child is at an age where they don't have full vocabulary, and honestly, a lot of these children, and even myself, the multidimensional reality they're living in, there isn't a vocabulary to describe it. But if the child is young where they don't have the vocabulary to describe it, I would right away suggest expressive therapy. And expressive therapy is being able to express that which does not have words, using art, using movement, using sound. And this resonates with children, with gifted children especially. And learning to have a conversation through those means until that vocabulary opens up. If the child is older and can talk about it, normally I'll start with the child, because, like I said, normally the child can tell you right away, this thing was bad, this thing was good, how do I get control of this, I'm okay with this, I'm not okay with this. They're very good at discerning. So I will speak to the child, kind of get an overview of what's going on, and then kind of make a family forum. And if I'm able, I will try to bring in, other people from the community. A lot of times I like to work with my mother, because the great thing about working with my mother is she can give the view of what it's like to raise a gifted child. I can connect with that child and give the perception to the parent what it's like to be that child in that body, seeing what they're seeing. But my mother, or an older individual who has raised children that are gifted, they can give you the perception of what it's like actually raising a child. And the bigger we can get that community and that support system, the better it's going to be. But the biggest thing, if you can't get me, if you can't get someone else, the biggest thing is validation. It's one thing to listen to a child, but it's a whole other thing to validate a child. And whether that's going on the internet and finding something, getting a book, reaching out to an internet forum, whatever means it may be, the validation is the most important thing. Because you are right. When they walk out in society, they're getting constant no's, constant you're wrong, constant, you know, there's something mentally wrong with you. You know, a lot of these kids are getting diagnosed with ADD, ADHD, autism, Asperger's. It's just going on and on and on. And we kind of cast these children aside as something's wrong with them societally. Now, they may just keep plowing through that. But as a parent, that can be extremely hard to deal with. So the bigger we can get the community, the more validation we can get, the better. So that's normally where it starts. And then from there, I kind of critique it for the child and the family's unique abilities. If the child is really connected to crystals, I have a basic knowledge of crystals. I'll go out and get the crystals that are calling to that child to make sure that their house is gridded in that. If the child really connects with colors, then we'll start talking about colors. If the child's environment is full of chaos, we'll start trying to hone ways to get it a more peaceful and more comforting environment. And it really is unique to each family and to each child. No child is the same. And the more they grow, the more abilities that open up.
Hearing you describe these efforts to integrate a gifted or special child into the larger society makes me wonder, you know, because unless your family is the Addams Family or the Munsters, you probably only have one special gifted child, you know. In other words, the implication is there are, your other children are probably normal. Now, wouldn't it be a challenge to, in other words, I would imagine you would caution the parents not to give to, do you find that these indigo children accidentally suck up the parents' attention? And can you give us any tips for integrating a special child into the rest of the family with siblings, cousins, and so on?
Well, I've actually seen both. I have quite a few families that have 3 to 5 children, and every single one is gifted. And
wow,
it's quite a
really?
Handful.
Okay, now so this is a surprise. This surprises me a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, well, no, and actually, families like that, it's kind of mind-blowing because they're actually getting different generations in there. So they'll have one child that's born that's very psychic, and then the next child that's born feels like they need to protect the psychic child. That's part of their purpose, but now they have healing abilities so that they can heal the psychic one. And now the next child, it's like all the abilities bleed into each other, and they are already functioning as a unit. Now, for the families that do only have one gifted child and the rest of the children are not, what starts to happen is spirit communication is a big one. Almost always, all these gifted children have many spirits hanging around them, talking to them all the time. And what I have noticed is a lot of times the parents are kind of struggling or are doing the best they can to deal with it, but the siblings that are around this child, they get really wrapped up in fear. They don't understand spirits. They can feel them moving down the hallway towards their sibling's room. Sometimes they come into their room, and they have this immediate reaction of just get rid of it because they don't understand it and they don't want to have anything to do with it. So when I work with families that only have one naturally gifted child, my focus becomes less about the naturally gifted child and more about the one that isn't gifted, to try to get them comfortable and maybe open up gifts. Because as I said, I believe we're all gifted. It's just some of us come in with it naturally functioning, and others we have to work with it. And the thing is, with a gifted child, you could go in and clear a house for them and get rid of all the spirits, and in 2 days they're going to be back because they're there to speak to that child, and that's part of that child's purpose. So this is really something that the family and the siblings have got to get working together and get used to it. So in a family where there's only one gifted child, my focus becomes trying to get the children that don't understand in a place where they can feel comfortable, in a place where they know how to do protection, in a place where they know how to speak to a spirit to let them know that they've crossed a boundary and it's not them, that they're looking for, need to talk to, or what have you. And sometimes that's an easy transition, and the naturally gifted sibling is right there doing all they can to try to make it an easy transition, and sometimes it's very complicated, and it's, especially with older children, it's hard to remove ingrained fear, especially older children, all these children, but older children especially can tell when their parents are not particularly comfortable with something or struggling to understand something, and to them, sometimes it gets translated as a fearful attitude.
Well, let me ask you this. This leads to my next question, because now I'm curious about the trajectory of this specialness through the developmental phases of puberty, adolescence, early adulthood, etc. And specifically, what I'm curious about, Layla, is whether or not the specialness or the luminosity, the psychic luminosity of the child, whether or not it dims through these phases until they reach adulthood and it's almost entirely gone out. Unless it's naturally, or unless it's built up and developed and encouraged by the adults, or does it happen in the opposite way? Does it just sort of grow stronger, but you know, it's just unshunted and unspecified and amorphous, or it, can it be either way?
I think it's unique for each child. So for me personally, what happened was when I hit my preteens and teenage years, I put together that I was definitely wrong to the societal norms. And so I don't know that I necessarily shut down my gifts, but I stopped talking about it, I stopped encouraging it. And eventually what happened is my physical body shut down to the point that I lost my ability to walk. Physically, the doctors found that I was allergic to mold, and I happened to be in a house that was filled with mold. However, I don't believe there are any accidents, and I believe that was my higher self, the universe, whatever you want to call it, telling me you're not living your purpose. If you're not living your purpose, what's the point of you being here? And I have had children where their bodies react the same way. The minute that they try to not be who they are, they have adverse reactions to it. But it's really, honestly, it's unique to each child. I will tell you from my point of view, and I don't know that anyone else has this perception, at around 10 to 12 years old, the child starts astral traveling without their parents. So up until early puberty, up until 10 to 12, they're always traveling with their parents or a guardian of some sort. At 10 or 12, for whatever reason, that stops, and they start astral traveling on their own. And that just happens to coincide with puberty. And it's very jarring and very difficult, because now not only is their body going through the natural transitions, now their spiritual self is learning discernment between dark and light, shadow pieces, learning how to astral travel, and there are some children who just completely shut down. They don't have the support system, they don't have anyone to talk to, and they, as you said, they get dim, and they do eventually shut down, and I think that eventually what would happen is either they're going to be miserable for the rest of their lives because that piece of them is not being explored and lived, or their body's going to shut down on them. And for the newer generations, the ones that are highly gifted, I think their body shutting down on them is the more likely. Now, that's not to encourage fear or cause a parent to freak out or anything. It may be a lesson the child needs to learn. I mean, that's what astral traveling out on their own is all about, learning how to discern, learning how to function in a society that may not always view you as a positive thing.
Oh, wow. You know what? You actually, in this, okay, let me pull myself together here. It seems as if you're connecting the newer generation with a heightened, and we got about 5 minutes before we're going to take a commercial break here, Layla. But I was wondering if in this 5 minutes, it seems as if I noticed you connecting the newer generation of children with a heightened a luminosity, a heightened psychic ability. It's almost as if, am I correct in interpreting it this way? The newer generation is even more psychic than other generations of gifted
children? Yeah, naturally they are. So like my generation, we're going to, as long as we keep working on things, we're going to grow right with them and match them to help them along and clear the pathway. But the newer generations that are being born now or a couple of years ago, they're just naturally coming in brighter and more knowledgeable. And it's just going to keep happening that way. It's just going to keep getting higher and higher and higher. And that's why it's so important that my generation keep the pathway and the generations before me keep that pathway open for them.
That's amazing. I never really, I mean, but it makes total sense because the generations advance in every other way. So why wouldn't they advance in their area of psychism and spirituality? It makes perfect
Absolutely.
Sense, Layla. You know, I also wanted to ask you before we go on to commercial break, and we can resume this once we get back, too. I'm also curious about when a child comes into your practice, you know, how you help that child adapt to her or his own gifts, because you mentioned on a number of occasions that it depends on every child. It depends on every child. And the impression I'm getting, and I'm far from an expert, is that this is a very, very varied and complex field with a lot of diversity in it. And so I was wondering if you could describe to us a little bit your process with, you know, adapting a child's gift to the child, her or himself.
Well, I've been very lucky and very blessed because the spirit world seems to help me out. So I either start to open the ability either during working with the child or prior to working with the child if they have an ability that I don't know. Or someone happens to cross my pathway that has that ability, and I can add them to a catalog of, oh, I need to call this person if I get a child with this ability. But it is very diverse. It is very complex. And the thing about it is you can have a child that starts out with just talking to spirit, and within 3 years, they're starting to have deep empathy. They know how to heal. They're starting to pick up telepathy. I've actually seen children move things with their mind. So it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And it'll just keep growing and growing. And it is very, very complex and very diverse.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Hollywood and the storytellers of our age, they seem to intuit that whatever it is that makes human beings special or gifted, that somehow in childhood it's purer, it's unalloyed,
yes,
unvitiated by the things that corrupt us adults. You know, is it possible?
I think that's because as a child you just are. You don't think twice about it until you start getting older. You just are. You know, it's like me when I was younger. I'd just speak to spirit, and I didn't recognize whether that was spirit or imaginary friends. I just did it because that's what I was called to do. That was my natural state. And then as you get older, you start realizing there's standards and there's protocols to living in this world. And suddenly you start realizing, oh, maybe I don't match this one, or I kind of stick out here. But I think why it's pure is because we just are as children. And as these children grow, we don't want to lose that. And even as adults, as parents, we want to get back in tune with that. You want to get back in tune with that and back to that state where you just are. And there's nothing wrong with your natural state. That's how God made you. That's how the universe made you.
You anticipated my next question as always. You are indeed quite intuitive. That was going to be my next question. Why, you know, I'm 39 years old, and you know, I can value the youthful attitude, the puerile and adolescent purview to life. You know, what if I am a midlife person and I see the value in recapturing my child? Is it possible to have an indigo adult who wasn't before?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Some of these children will actually open up abilities in parents. And then the parents go right with them, which is what I was so blessed with my mother, is my mother went right on the journey with me. And all of her abilities were opening up just as quickly as mine. Absolutely.
That's amazing. Well, I'll tell you what, Layla, we are going to take a one-minute commercial break here. I want to remind everybody listening that you can find Layla at her website, readingsbylayla.com. Now, this is Layla, L-E-I-L-A. L-E-I-L-A, readings by Layla.com. We'll be right back in 1 minute.
new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, and we are interviewing Layla Briggs from readingsbylayla.com, talking about gifted children. And in this half hour, I would kind of like to talk to you, Layla, about maybe some worst-case scenarios, because, you know, so far we've been talking about parents who are indeed involved with their children, but, you know, I'm sure a lot of these gifted children are sometimes born with other challenges and things, handicaps or other strikes against them, or perhaps their parents aren't so engaged with them or enthusiastic about them. Have you dealt with any of these more troubling cases in your time, Layla, and what needs to be done with them? How will they wind up?
So, yes, I've had some really difficult cases, and some that I, unfortunately, my help only goes so far. And I think everyone kind of knows that you can only help someone who's willing to help themselves. And unfortunately, when it comes to a gifted child, especially depending on their age, you're kind of dependent on the parents to be proactive and work with you. And if they aren't willing to work with you, then there's only so much you can do. Some of the more difficult cases, they tend to be, I do have one case and one child I work with who has no verbal communication whatsoever. He has never been diagnosed with autism, and that could be the financial situation of the family, but in my opinion, he kind of fits, and in no way am I a medical professional, but he has no means of verbal communication. And so it's extremely difficult for the parents to handle him, to understand him, and to find a middle ground with him. And unfortunately, in cases like that, what I have to really hope and pray for is that I get the parents before they're burnt out. Because if they're burnt out, then the ability of me being able to help, at least physically, is very limited. Now, astrally, if I meet a child and I know my physical abilities are limited, I will do all that I can to help them in the astral, to ensure that they have guardians, to ensure that they're wrapped in protective light. But like I said, at a certain age, they start venturing out on their own. But there is a fine line with that, because these children, the ones that can speak, will tell you very bluntly they picked the family they're in for a reason. So, and they picked the body they're in for a reason. So sometimes what we view as a negative situation is actually a positive for them, and it's going to give them the tools that they need to deal with those that view them negatively, or help those that don't have normal communicative skills and societal skills that they need. So there have been difficult cases, and I, you know, I'm sure everyone can relate to this. You want to help as much as you can, but I have to really trust spirit and my guides on how to proceed, because some of that is their life lessons. And so it is a delicate line, and it's a delicate line anyway, supporting children with gifts, because you don't want to direct them in any way. You don't want to interfere in any way, but you want to make sure they have the support and the validation they need.
How at risk would you say some of these children are for substance abuse problems later on in life? Would you say there's a linkage between their increased sensitivity, their heightened psychism, and increased danger of alcoholism or some sort of a drug addiction?
Yes, especially my generation and the few generations that came after me. However, a lot of the really young children that are coming in, I have noticed they are very blunt and very adverse against smoking, alcohol, things like anything toxic. They will slap it right out of your hand, and they may not even have a reason that they can verbalize other than that they're doing it. So I hope for the children that are coming in now, that'll be less of an issue, but definitely people that are my age, and I want to say are in their 20s now, and even definitely adults and people beyond my age, substance abuse, there was a huge link with people that had innate psychic abilities and were trying to drown it out or be able to handle it with alcohol and drugs.
You know, well, let's shift the focus to another problem area, that of vocation and direction in life and general force. I think it was some fancy French person, maybe it was Guy de Maupassant or Voltaire, somebody said there were two types of hells, the hell of zero possibility and the hell of infinite possibility. Now, with these gifted children, children who can do so much, I've noticed, you know, it seems to me that, and I want to know if you would agree or if you disagree what your experience has been with this, whether or not sometimes these children have a hard time settling into a niche in life as they attain maturity. What are your thoughts on that idea?
Well, I think that's an interesting question. I don't actually think they have a hard time settling into their niche. I think society has a hard time dealing with them settling into their niche, because what happens is these kids end up being extremely talented in many, many things. So maybe one year they want to be an artist, a painter, and the next year they're working with computers. And they're doing what they're guided to do, and if they're able to get by the societal standards, they'll just keep moving right through many different trades. Not all of them. Some of them do come in with one purpose from a very young age. They know they're supposed to do this, and they're going to do that. But a lot of times what starts to happen is when they're hitting their teenage years, they get overwhelmed because they do have so many gifts and abilities physically that are opening up to them with their psychic abilities, and they could easily succeed at all of them, and trying to find one is very hard. In my opinion, you should never try to find one if you have multiple gifts. You should try to find a place where you can use all of them. And unfortunately, in society right now, that's a little difficult. But I do believe that that won't be so much of an issue as more and more gifted children start expanding and becoming aware, especially with the children that are being exceptionally stubborn. And believe it or not, in my generation, it's kind of opening up that way. Now when you write a book, you don't have necessarily a publishing house sign you on. You now have to find the publisher. You've got to figure your own copyrights out. You've got to figure your own images out. And eventually, by the end of that growth spurt or that process, you have learned multiple things. That's exactly what these gifted children need. They need giant projects where they can use all of those abilities. So society is actually slowly going that way with social media and different things. We, you know, as society, we see that as not necessarily positive things, but for a gifted child, that's ideal. To be able to write a book and then handle every detail of it is ideal for them. Because they do have multiple abilities, and they can get stuck where society just says, no, you pick one thing and one thing's all you get, and that's what you're doing for the rest of your life. So that's how I feel about that. I don't think that it's necessarily they can't find their niche. It's kind of society not allowing them to find their niche.
It makes perfect sense. And, of course, the niches are evolving as this crazy world we live in evolves. Now,
right.
as we turn into the final stretches of our time together before we get to the end of our show, I would like to, you know, give you a chance to explain to everybody exactly what it is that you do, how to find you, and all that good stuff. But I would like to get through one more topic. I think it's an important one. How do we discipline these children? I mean, I would imagine that since they are different, they might require different types of discipline. What's the right way? What's the wrong way? And again, I understand it probably varies with each child, but, you know, can you guide us? If I can't get to you, you know, until next month, can you give me some short-term advice on maybe the basics on disciplining my gifted child when I need to?
So I would say you need to discipline them as you would discipline any other child. The only difference is when they ask you why they're being sent to the room, you give them an answer because they will take you literally. Likewise, if they say to you, I need to sleep outside tonight, and don't reply and go, no, absolutely not. Say, well, tell me why. Why do you need that? Get them to communicate why they feel they need something or they need to do something or why they did something. If you can open up that conversation piece, I have found with a lot of families that just conversate, literally talk about everything. Why did you make this choice? Why do you feel that way? Why do you think about this? Less discipline happens because the children are pretty good at figuring out what's right and wrong and healthy and unhealthy for them. And what happens is the parent starts to understand the choices that they're making. And then when a child says, I need to do this, they know to say, okay, tell me why. I'm not saying that I'm going to give in, but tell me why, and then we can be proactive with it. And I think that's the biggest key. A lot of parents actually kind of, when they find out that their children are gifted, they actually completely back off, and it's almost like they forget how to discipline. It's like it's something completely new, and then the child sometimes can take advantage of that. So I would say that just because they're gifted and empathetic doesn't mean that you don't discipline them, but you discipline them with reason. You know, if you say, go to your room, tell them why they're going to their room. Don't just say, go to your room. And if you say no, explain why you're saying no and have a conversation about it. Really, it's like talking to a little adult.
Yeah.
The baby talk and the just giving a straight no or a straight yes without any explanation isn't going to work with them.
They
want to hear you say, hear you explain why you're choosing something, even if they already know it innately. They want to hear you say it to see if your action is lining up with the words that you're saying.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of concerned here for the poor parents in the situation. How do you discipline a child who perhaps can, you know, read your mind and instinctively grope at that for that part of in your psyche that will permit him to get out of this punishment? You know what I'm saying? How is it? So you know, it might be tempting to think I'm concerned about the child in this case, but my heart kind of goes out to the poor parents here. You know,
right. Well, it's definitely not easy as a parent. Like I said, I give credit to my mother, but most times if the child is seeing you communicate and your actions are lining up with your words and the energy they're perceiving, they won't do anything to manipulate the situation. But if they are reading your mind and it's getting to the point where you can't have a conversation or you can't discipline, if I was helping the family, I would start teaching the mother basically how to protect herself so that's not an option, how to communicate with him or the child and explain how that's not an option, that you only use that when you absolutely need to. You don't use it to manipulate. You don't use it for this. This or that, you use it when you absolutely need to, that it's a sacred gift and, you know, you don't abuse it.
I tell you, I was wondering if perhaps I could get your thoughts on this question for maybe, you know, 5 or 6 minutes or so, but I'm curious, you know, we talked already about sort of, I guess, the generational fitness, for lack of a better term. What might be the purpose for the indigo children? What's their... in terms of the overall human race, what's their responsibility? And I know that this might just be a matter of opinion or what have you. What do you think their job is, A, and, you know, I have a two-pronged question here, B, Are there any bad ones? Are there any little gifted villains?
So, for your A, I think that ultimately, bigger picture, what we're looking at is a huge, gigantic, universal shift of moving from what light workers or healers may call moving from the illusion into the reality. We're moving from that illusion of the 3D world and only the 3D world and moving into the reality of many incarnations, many dimensions, many timelines. I myself, one of the gifts that I was given is to be able to sit in front of someone and not only see them here and now, but see them 400 different timelines and dimensions and functioning, and to a multidimensional child, all time is functioning as at once. So every action you make here ripples through all those times and dimensions, and any action you make in another time or dimension ripples through all of them. So ultimately, I think what they're doing, bigger scheme, is moving us through that multidimensional awareness into a new energy, hopefully leading to love and hope and light and peace. I think on the smaller scale, what you're going to start seeing to happen, and actually we're already seeing it happen, is huge societal changes, governmental shifts, how society is viewed, how you function, how you view other people, how you view the sick, how you view the homeless, and we're actually already kind of seeing that. Unfortunately, with social media, we're seeing a lot of the negative of that. But if you're able to step back, you can see that something's already shifting and moving. People are starting to get more aware of truth, more aware of things that just aren't working for us. And I think the children and my generation and all, we're clearing the pathway so that we can get to a society of peace or heaven on earth. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to be a process. It's going to take a lot of educating and getting people used to all those abilities. But based on what I know with the Akashic Records, humanity kind of goes through these cycles, and it's this ever-spinning cycle that gets higher and higher and higher. And so we're on that cycle, and we're starting that new age. And we're opening back up to the psychic and intuitive abilities, and really knowing and understanding unconditional love and all the dynamics of unconditional love, and starting to realize that there are things in our society every day that are not working and functioning with that, and that they will need to be eliminated or put standards on to be able to rise up, I guess.
Right.
Standards isn't necessarily the word I'm looking for, but now in terms of villains, my opinion is when you start dealing with truth and you start dealing with multi-dimensionality, there is no wrong. Mm-hmm. There just is. And I always remember what my great-grandmother used to tell my mother, and my mother shared with me and my sister, is there would be no Jesus without Judas. Mm. So as a society, our beliefs are based on morals and standards, but when you are existing in truth and multi-dimensionality, that doesn't exist. Bad doesn't exist.
Right. There's so unhealthy
choices.
The universe.
There's definitely choices that shift thousands and thousands of people, but ultimately, even the darkest stuff I've run into, all of them are seeking ascension of some sort. It might not be the end point, the same end point for everything, but ultimately everything is seeking some type of ascension. It's just they don't necessarily know how to go about it. So in my opinion, there isn't a wrong child or a villain, and there isn't a wrong or villain adult. There's just an adult making perhaps unhealthy choices, and they just need a little redirection or a little help or a little support. And sometimes they don't even need that. Sometimes you need someone to be making those decisions so you can understand the difference between light and dark.
Right.
Know what you're striving for. Some of these children at a very young age are dealing with very dark things, but ultimately it's because they need to deal with them to understand the light and truly appreciate it. They need to understand lies to then understand truth, to help humanity get through that. So even the most manipulative child, I've never run across a person or a child that I think is evil or their heart is just solid against damning humanity. I think that sometimes they just either get a little lost or they truly are following their calling and they're teaching people and teaching themselves polarity and duality.
Oh, very good. Well, I really do appreciate you joining us this evening. We can find you at Readings by Layla. I am pronouncing your name correctly, right? Readings by Layla.com is where we can. Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Layla. And we hope you have a wonderful holiday season. And thanks again. We learned a lot tonight.
All right. Thank you. Enjoy.
Thank you. All right, everyone. Just to remind you, you can find Layla Briggs at readingsbylayla.com. Okay, so we have only completed one half of the show. We still have one more hour left, so be sure to stay tuned there with your pen and paper to jot down the call-in number so that you can get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We're going to announce that call-in number later, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you couldn't catch our last week's show, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. We want to connect with as many of you as possible, so please share that link. Also, visit PsychicBloggers.com to learn about everything regarding the paranormal. Everything from reincarnation to soulmate seeking to the how-tos of psychic development is at PsychicBloggers.com, your online resource for learning about all things paranormal. If you're interested in getting a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to PsychicAccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. And if you've never registered at the site before, you get a free 6-minute reading. Every psychic on the site has a detailed profile so that you can get to know the psychic better. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations and standards required of each psychic practitioner on the site. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. Incidentally, site owners and webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading that's referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, and we hope that you do, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the psychic viewpoint. There's something for everyone, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Lauren, are you there? Is your microphone unmuted? Wanted to ask.
I am unmuted now.
Ah, very nice, very nice. Well, I wanted to get your input about the topic for tonight, and you know what thoughts were going through your head as the interview was going on.
Well, I really enjoyed her interview, and a lot of the things she said I actually implement. I have two sensitive children, completely different gifts. So a lot of things she was talking about I actually do with my kids, and I've done a little bit more. But it is definitely a interesting journey when you have children that are intuitive, or empathic, psychics, or just know things.
Yeah, I was laughing when she was talking about, you know, how you have to rationalize to your kids and everything. I was just, because I come from a generation, you know, she used the verbiage, you know, you have to open up a conversation piece. I was just thinking what my father would have done if I had talked back, that he would have opened up a conversation piece, all right. You know, but this is how the generations change these days, and thank God for that. You know, there's an increasing awareness and sensitivity about what intuitive children need. I think prior to these modern generations, it was a horror story. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up, it was very old school Italian, so it was more physical and words. And I know with my children, it's more sit down and talk about it. My daughter is very empathic. I think she's 10 times stronger than I am, and she's 9 and psychic, and she gets visitors. And so it's just sitting down and talking to her. And I love how she talked about validating, because that is truly a number one thing. If you can validate a child's feelings, and even if you don't understand it, and you can say, okay, so they're getting a voice. But I loved how you asked about the poor parents. And I thought, and I thought the best thing is to have a sense of humor, because
it helps.
So that I did find interesting, and I loved her little tidbits about crystals. I know when my daughter was younger, I love crystals, so we went to a store, and she picked out the ones that she wanted that talked to her, and especially when you're talking about astro traveling. My daughter does that, and, you know, I just taught her about angels and guides, and, you know, when you're doing this, you have someone kind of assigned to your physical body and one with your spiritual body, and I actually teach my children how to sage and clear, because when they are sensitive like that, they are light, they are beacon, they open portals, and they even know how they're doing it, so it's very important to teach them how to also ground and clear constantly.
Very interesting. I wanted to ask you, I mean, because I realize you're not a geneticist or anything, but I mean, you know, do you think it boils down to that, like your opinion of the matter? Do you think it boils down to the passage of a chromosome, this gift? Is this how it's passed?
You know, what is interesting is I grew up and no one really ever talked about it, but now I'm 34, my mom's very intuitive. She doesn't say anything, but she knows. My aunt does a lot of animal healings. On my father's side, they all knew and saw things. No one ever talked about it. So that was pretty the interesting thing. So I think a lot of people do have the generational family that has it, but it was always frowned upon to talk about it.
Now, let me just – do you mind if I ask about your personal experience growing up as a sensitive child? Because, I mean, you just mentioned a little bit of it right there. It kind of frowned upon to talk about it. Were you discouraged from – were your gifts sort of maybe suppressed or hidden, or were you allowed to communicate about it freely?
Well, I remember at age 5 being at my grandmother's farm in upstate New York and seeing ghosts and telling my grandmother about her and describing her. And the person on the house, he was a big white man, and he was very scary, and he had a cane. And I mean, I described him to a T. And my grandmother, I love her, she indulged in it. She said, well, let's look up the people, because the house has only been owned, I think, by 2 or 3 other people.
Right,
so
right.
They looked up, and they found a picture, and it was the person I described. So
that is spooky.
So that's part, you know, and I always had family when I would say things, and I was always taught to listen to your gut and your intuition, but that was about it. And so as you got older, it wasn't talked about, and it was kind of weird to go to people's houses and see their dead relatives standing in the corner. You don't talk to them about that stuff.
Well, let me ask you this, Lauren. It seems to me as if there's a very strong matriarchal component to all of this stuff. In other words, it seems to me as if it's passed through the mother, through the grandmother, etc. I mean, have you noticed any of these things in your maternal line, or can you say to me, well, Steve, that's malarkey because my father's family, you know, my paternal line is very psychic or very — what's your opinions about that? And Nona Maria, I'm about to ask you the same questions too, so ready your mute man, please. But I want to get your ideas on that first, Lauren.
So on my father's side, his grandmother, his mother, and his aunts are all very, very intuitive. They don't speak about it. They're very, very strong Catholics, so it's kind of like looked down upon,
right,
just in their family. So I'm not going to say that's about every Catholic, so I don't want to open that worm, but just in their line, in their family. So they would always know things, and they would do prayer, and it's on my father's side, too, so I found it very interesting at 30 when I started asking questions to hear it was on both sides. I was like, this is amazing. Why didn't anyone ever talk about this?
No wonder you're so psychic. As they say, you guided honest, right?
Right.
Well, thank you very much for those comments, Lauren. We'll be right back to you in a second. Dr. Nona Maria, I wanted to get some of your insights about the interview and some of the the ideas that may have run through your mind. I know that you had to have been. Indigo probably wouldn't even describe the color of the rainbow you were. You must have been an infrared child or something. What color were you when you were a baby?
Well, you know, I'm a complete other generation with all of this. I don't know what I was. Probably it would be I was hiding as a crystal or something. My mother you know, we just didn't have this in the discussion at the time. And my mother was, you know, an activist, union organizer, save the world person. And with that came that religion was the opiate of the masses, and therefore the invisible world literally was, you know, non-existent, nothing that we discussed or anything like that. But she was massively psychic herself, which I didn't realize until many decades later when I started doing readings and I understood that she was, that's what made her an incredible therapist, is that she knew who people were before they even started speaking. But it was another, that was another generation for me altogether of, there was no discussion of this kind of thing. So I'm just so happy it's in the vocabulary and it's recognized, and there's just so many parents that are so aware now of looking at how to raise children who have gifts. And even some mainstream therapists, I think it's John Bradshaw, who's one of the coolest guys, who wrote about boundaries and dysfunctional families. And he told a story in one of his lectures about he had, I think, like a four-year-old child, and they had a baby brother. She had a baby brother, a brand new one, and he heard his daughter saying, "Tell me what God looks like, because I'm beginning to forget." And she was asking the infant son that. I'm talking over the crib. And this is a mainstream therapist who is starting to bring this into conversation in the 90s. So I'm just so thrilled there's people out there like her and Lauren and yourself that are, you know, where kids with gifts are not getting shunted into a corner or being taught basically to ignore their gifts. So I think I just lived in another world somehow. I just never spoke to anybody about it. And everybody would say things like that I was so good with animals, or my mother always told me I was very special, but we never knew what that really meant. So there was a little bit of support for it, but it was, I was really shocked to find out all these things that I could do were real.
Well, you know, and, I asked,
yeah,
I was just going to say, I asked Lauren a little while ago about a distinct feminine stamp in these things. And so, you know, with your background, I wanted to ask you specifically, because, you know, being a male, you know, being an the extremely macho guy that I am, you know, I'm sort of a throwback here. What do we do with the indigo boys who are sort of operating in a woman's world, as it were? This is sort of, I guess what I'm driving at here is that it seems to me as if this is the opposite of the patriarchal corporate social hierarchy. You know, when an indigo male enters into this world, I really feel as if he's standing in a woman's ground. What are your ideas about that? And what do you think the ramifications are for a masculine expression in that area?
Well, actually, I do think with the harmonic convergence that happened and the shift into, I think we're moving or have moved in primarily to yin energy. And so many special children, I think, are male now, more so than female, actually, which doesn't make it any easier in any way, because there's not a role to define sensitive psychic men. It's like an anomaly that has hit the majority. So it's a great question, and I think it did run along feminine lines for many decades, maybe thousands of years, but I think that has shifted a great deal now. I think it's very evenly balanced, and I'm meeting more and more healers and shamans who are men, and more children that are indigo children, and they're sons, you know, they're boys, they're not girls anymore. So I think the yin energy of the earth, the cycle that we're in now, and the yuga, according to the Hindus that we're in, has really encouraged the arrival of male children who are very, very balanced. So they have a great deal of feminine energy in them. They're not the old-fashioned male anymore. They are, I don't want to say androgynous, because people put that into asexual, and it's not asexual, but it is really a balance between yin and yang energy in the body. And I'm really excited to see how these young men grow up. And I do think there's still a huge amount of women with this, but I think it's going to get very, very balanced out. And I believe that it will lead to a whole generation of very different parenting, where dads and moms are quite different with their energies than what we've been seeing for a couple thousand years now. So it's a great question. I don't have an answer. These are just my observations right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I specialize in the unanswerable questions. Those are the only interesting ones, in my
Absolutely.
Opinion.
Absolutely. Agree.
Well, tell you what, I'm going to go ahead, while we have a sort of a lacuna here, I'm going to go ahead and toss out the call-in number for later on in the show when we get to that point where we're going to take calls in a few minutes here. You might want to copy this number down. It is 724-444-4851. And when you do call in, you're going to be placed on hold. You'll be able to hear the show in the background. You'll be able to hear all of the fascinating banter and ideas that are being expressed. And you'll be able to hear the other readings as well that are taking place. So just relax and enjoy yourself while you're waiting. And think about what question you want to ask, because we can only take one question once we get you on the line. Okay, so again, that number is 724-444-4851. Okay. Lauren, I did want to come back to you because... if you don't mind, while we're waiting for our callers to call, because you did mention that you have children, right?
You said, I do. I have a 13-year-old son. He'll be 14 in February, and I have a 9-year-old daughter that will be 10 in April.
Ah, okay. Very good. And are they both indigo, would you say, or?
I've always not kind of fully understood that term. So, I guess kind of. My son, now, he just knows things. He doesn't talk about it. He'll just tell you he knows something. Like, he almost sees things before it kind of happens. So I'm almost going to say that precog, and that's about it. That's about all he'll say. And but he is sensitive, so it's learning to also teach him, you know, boundaries about, you know, how you feel and saying it. But also, as a boy, you know, growing up and teaching him, you know, it's fine to be masculine, and it's also, you know, okay to be sensitive too, and walking those lines and being honorable to himself. And I told him, I said, one day he'll be a wonderful catch for a woman, especially if he can tap into both of that, then women will love you, especially if you can divulge into that sensitive side, and also where balance it is very, what I like to tell him. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, in such a situation, what could be aggression is very often turned into a protective impulse.
Yeah, and now my daughter, she is very empathic, so she feels what you feel. She sees spirit. She hears messages. She almost, when she looks at you, she can see auras and colors. And she'll see almost, like, it's funny when she describes it, we'll talk about it, like around people's heads, like almost like cartoons or, and I was laughing about when you teach children, you know, to validate it, but also to boundaries of spiritual, but also interpersonal boundaries. Like, I don't need her to tell her teacher what she's seeing her teacher's personal relationships going to. I'm like, no, don't do that. You can tell everything you want, but let's not talk to these people about it, because they're not ready for that. Some people are and some aren't. So.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That introduces a whole new dimension of, like, teaching your child manners and, you know, courtesy and things. You know, it goes beyond now just teaching them not to chew with their mouth open or to say excuse me after they belch or what have you. Now you have to teach them to respect the psychic privacy of others. That's very interesting.
It is. It definitely runs into that. And it also teaches her her own boundaries. We've been working on, you know, her voice. It's very important for her to have a voice. And to not let someone push her down or to interfere with that. I mean, but also to be respectful, you know, but to really listen to herself too. I mean, I wish that was kind of instilled in me at a young age, was to honor and listen to myself and validate myself and not have to have others do it for me. So I figure by teaching her this, I'm putting her, like, into 30 years of life lessons at age 9.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this real quick before I swing back over to Dr. Nona Marie here. Because, you know, you're at psychicaccess.com, so I think this question is very pertinent. Would you say that your gifted children have increased your own psychic ability?
I definitely think so. I think especially as Caden kind of came into it even more, especially in that prepubescent, and even my son, the amount of energy and spirits in the house. And, oh, yeah. I mean, coming in and there's like, there's someone in my room. And I'm like, well, let's go figure this out and let's tell them, you know, who can come in, who can't, and almost kind of grounding and clearing and then putting boundaries for her also to teach her that. So that actually helped me also heighten my boundaries, and where a lot of people have to ground and put protection up, I almost innately don't even have to anymore, because it's just, it's almost kind of a, like breathing is the best way to describe it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a natural instinct. That's wonderful. Thank you very much for those observations, Lauren. I wanted to ask Dr. Nona Marie while we're waiting on calls here, and incidentally, I will pass out that number one more time, 724-444-4851. And I just wanted to ask you, Dr. Nona Marie, about, you know, we talked in the interview about sort of becoming indigo adults, sort of recapturing the magic of childhood in our adult life and harnessing it to manifest things and to have a better life and things of that nature. I wanted to get your opinions about that, whether it's possible, how it could be possible, et cetera.
I'm not sure what you're asking. What can be possible to be to become as an adult, to become like an indigo person? Is that what you mean?
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. I would have to say yes, because that's what happened to me, honestly, because I was dragged into spirituality. I was dragged into learning all this material and kind of forced into it in a way. And at a late age, probably in my 30s, I think it was, that I really embraced this. At one point, everybody I knew was a healer and a psychic but me, and I thought maybe I might be able to like be a janitor in a healing center one day.
Oh, that would be a waste.
Well, that's how I used to think about it. So yeah, I really came into this stuff very late, and it was my teacher who was a channeled entity who had to keep pushing me into it, and I still would go through things like, oh, this can't be real. I would do something and then go, oh, this can't be real. I'm just making this up. This is my imagination. It's a mistake. And then somebody would say, you just described everything that happened to me yesterday, or something like that. So yes, I would have to say absolutely it can happen as an adult. I really do believe that that is true. And I've heard this also with particularly Native American medicine people that I ran into, that there was this one wonderful Comanche man who had been a CEO in a white corporate world, and a spirit came to get him and said, it's time for you to be a medicine man. And he's like, yeah, I don't think so. And he literally, this went on for weeks, and he is about 6'2", 6'4", big guy, was picked up and thrown out of bed and thrown against the wall, landed on the floor. And the spirit said, you will be a medicine man. You will pick up the pipe. You will follow your tradition. And that freaked him out so badly that he finally decided he wasn't hallucinating, he wasn't making this up. And so he started to walk down, as he called it, the red road, and he quit the corporate life. He picked up the pipe, and he must have been in his 40s or 50s even by then, and became a full-blooded medicine man, to the point that he actually was allowed to work in a Christian hospital, St. Mary's Hospital, where we had a huge Indian population in Tucson, and he was allowed to practice as an American Indian medicine man in the hospital, saging the patients and chanting and drumming with them.
That's awesome. Sounds like
a
remarkable.
Amazing. Yeah, and that's not the only story I've heard. I've not heard it in other practices as much as I've heard it in the American Indian, with a number of different tribes that's happened. But I bet you there's other stories like that. So, yeah, it's crazy.
Well, switching gears here, we actually have a caller from Ohio for you, Dr. Nona Marie.
Okay. Ohio, are you there? I hear water. I hear somebody pouring water, or they're drinking a big gurgle or something. Who is this?
This is from Ohio. Hello.
Hi, who is this?
This is Sherry from Ohio.
Oh, Sherry, you call in every single show, don't you?
Well, you
know what? We need to have you call the regular number and talk to us offline, because we have a limit on how many times you can call into the show, and it's 2,400 times, and you've done it. I'm kidding.
Oh, no. I ain't called that many times. I know better.
I know. We haven't been on that long, but seriously, we'll take one short question from you. And if you want us to stay on the air, you need to support us by calling in and being a client.
Well, you'll have to give me your number.
Oh, just go to psychicaccess.com.
And then I don't have a computer.
Oh, do you have a cell phone?
Do I have what?
A cell phone? No, a
smartphone? No. No.
Oh.
I don't have access to a computer.
I don't know. We're going to have to find that out then and get a message to you about that. Okay, so what can we do for you? Are you still there? Okay, I think we lost Sherry.
It's okay. I think we have a caller from Ontario for you, Dr. Nona Marie.
Okay. Are you there, Ontario? Hello?
Let's try North Carolina instead. We're going to get it right.
Okay, how about North Carolina? Somebody Hello? There from North Carolina?
Hello, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's your name?
I was calling because I have a question about my job. I have a claim, a workers' comp in my job, and I'm trying to see. I have a case not tomorrow, but I have a case next month, and I'm trying to see how is it going to go.
So you mean when you have a case, you mean you have a hearing, correct?
Yes, ma'am. So I have a hearing. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay. I do think that it is going to get stalled, just so you know that. Are you working with an attorney?
Yeah, I do. I have two attorneys as well.
Okay. So I think it's going to get stalled out. You're going to eventually win. You are. You will not get quite as much money as you're hoping to get, but you will get about 2/3 to 3/4 of the money that you're hoping to get. But you do need to stay on top of your attorneys. And when I say that, I mean you just need to stay in touch with them. Make sure you've given them all the evidence and everything you possibly have about your case. And when sometimes attorneys, they just need a little push sometimes by their client to keep them motivated. So make sure that you do that. And in the meantime, though, you also do need to get your energy a little bit settled. When you go to the hearing, you need to be very unemotional, very logical, and you should make some notes for yourself about points that you will need to cover if you're asked questions. Because sometimes when you get excited, you go all over the place and it's hard for people to follow what you're saying. And then that makes them not take you as seriously as if you present in a more logical fashion, because that's the way those hearings go. I'm not saying the way you talk is not a good way. I'm just saying the way hearings present, it's all facts, it's all linear, and they don't want to hear any emotion. So you need to prepare for that also. So you will get through this, but it's going to take a little bit longer than you're hoping for. But it will work out for you.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, sweetie. Thanks for calling, and hang in there.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you very much. You can find Dr. Nona Marie Foyer at psychicaccess.com. I would like to take this opportunity to pass out the call-in number again. It's 724-444-4851. Don't be shy. Go ahead and give us a call so you can get your free live on-air reading. And while we're waiting for some calls to come in, Dr. Nona Marie, you were telling us about a very interesting personage. I was actually quite fascinated about this CEO who's now saging patients.
How did you
meet this gentleman again?
Well, in my younger days, I was actually involved with the American Indian Movement, which was involved with armed occupations in the reservation South Dakota, as well as the Bureau of Indian Affairs in Washington.
Wow.
And they were armed occupations because people were trying to vote, and because they had skin color that was not white, they were getting shot at by our government for having setting up fair voting practices at the voting booth. So that's how I first got involved with American Indian stuff. And then after that, I just seemed to keep running into medicine people.
Just blossomed from there, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Lauren, you've got a caller from Wisconsin. Poor Lauren.
Hi, who am I speaking with?
Hello, this is Duena.
Duana, hi. Duana. What can I help you with tonight, hon?
Yes, I was wondering if you could just tell me where you see my relationship with my fiancé going.
Okay, could you tell me his name?
Robert.
Robert, okay. All right. Right now I see just a lot of communication that's kind of been in and out. So I feel like if you guys can get on that communication bandwagon a little bit better, that would help. Because I feel like when you talk and he talks, you guys aren't hearing each other. It's almost like you're talking at each other, not actually hearing what you're trying to say to each other. I also get a lot of stresses that are coming in. So almost like a little bit more fun. It's time to have a little bit more fun with each other and kind of go back to the beginning and the basics. With that is what I'm getting. Is there something specific that you're wanting to know about that? I mean, I do see him working and actually money is going to be coming in more. I feel like that's been a bit of a stressor with him with the job. So I don't know if that's created a little bit of an issue with the relationship, but I do see that coming in more and actually kind of making him giving a little bit more breathing room and lightening up and kind of going back to that really fun sense of humor.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, because I feel like it's just kind of been really tight and it's, I don't know if you feel, I don't know what you're feeling, but it sense almost like what I'm seeing is you're feeling isolated or almost like the person's kind of pulling away where he's just not able to communicate his stresses and you guys are talking at each other but not really looking at what the issue is what I'm seeing. But there is a lot of love here and I see a lot of beautiful things coming in for you guys. Just know in the next 3 months, things are going to get a lot better. So kind of the rocky point, which is great because it's teaching you guys how to communicate and work together.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand what you're talking. I understand what you're saying.
And was there another question with that, hon?
Specific? Hang that damn phone up. Hang it up. Where's the next?
Oh. Is she still there? Is she still there, Steve?
Okay, I think she did actually leave there. Thank you very much, Lauren, for that reading. It was excellent. You can find Lauren at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from Ontario. Good evening, Ontario. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How may I help you?
I was just wondering about a situation that with a friend. It was turning into more of a friend, but we're not talking right now. I'm just wondering if this situation is going to resolve itself, if we will be back in each other's lives.
Okay. 1 second while I pick up on this situation, okay, sir?
Yeah.
You know, from what I'm seeing here, you could rescue this situation, but I'm actually judging that it probably won't happen because it would kind of take a miracle. It would take a lot of effort, and it would take you doing everything perfectly and without fail. And, you know, that just so rarely happens in life. You know, it's what I think the ultimate disposition of this relationship is in the long run. Now, I mean, sure, it would be possible to forecast bright moments and happy times, periods of success that will happen. I'm not saying that there won't be any success. However, I really believe strongly that what success there is won't be enough to get a long-term relationship of any kind of appreciable longevity, which is what I think you want out of this individual. Correct me if I'm wrong here.
Well, I was just wondering if we were going to become friends again, basically.
Friendship is definitely possible, absolutely. But even the right now, I don't know what, you know, why, but right now, it's just she's just not feeling it for whatever reason, for friendship or love or anything. That is liable to change. But at this very moment, probably she's suffering from some holiday drain. you know, something of that nature, but she's just not feeling it right now. Will that change in the future? I would expect it to change. I mean, a friendship is certainly possible here. Yeah, so that should brighten.
She's suffering from what?
Right now, as far as furthering a friendship with you, she's just not feeling it. I'm thinking that, and I'm speculating about this part as to why she's not just feeling it, but I mentioned holiday drain, the sense of, you know, going to visit family members for the holidays, going here, there, and everywhere, worrying about, am I going to have enough money to get the gifts for the kids and for the nephews, etc. You know, all of these stresses of the holidays, sort of taking the paprika out of life. And so that's one reason why, you know, even the basic friendship right now, she's kind of not even feeling that. She's not really into any sort of, she's had her feel right now. She's got as many emotional commitments or obligations, even half-hearted ones or weak ones. She's got as many as she can take right now. No, that is going to change as we get beyond the holiday season, though, okay?
All right. So, I'm talking to baby.
I'm sorry, sir. I did not catch that last bit.
I said, like, so we'll probably in the new year.
Right, right. As we get into 2015, then you can expect a little bit more enthusiasm out of her. In fact, she'll probably take the initiative to contact you some and things of that nature. But, you know, right now it's kind of not a good time. But give it a couple of weeks, give it a month and a half or something, and she'll be a lot more bubbly, a lot more enthusiastic. You see, so that's what we got going on with her.
I've been blocked on her, not blocked, deleted on Facebook and everything, right? Because we got into a huge fight.
Right.
And
that's
loving itself, right?
Yeah, you guys will be back on, you know, decent terms as some time passes. You know how it is when fights happen, as you know, after a month, a week, a day or something, the anger fades. So yeah, after we get past Christmas, New Year, etc., you know, then the anger will also fade, the irritation, all these good things will fade, and the time will be ripe for, you know, let's bury the hatchet here. But that time is not yet. Not now. It's going to take a couple more weeks, maybe a month, maybe even 2 months at the most, but shouldn't take too awfully long. Okay.
All right.
Great. Well, best of luck to you. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Now we have a caller for Dr. Nona Marie from New York.
Hello, New York. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello, New York. Is that you from New York?
Yes. Hi.
Hi. What's your name?
My name is Sakura.
Sakura. Beautiful name. How can
Thank
I help you? You're welcome. What's your question?
I was calling because, like your previous caller, I too had a fight with a close friend last night, and it's been pretty rocky for the last few months. So I guess any help as to what I can do, I guess, to make things better. And I will be in her state next week, so I'm just wondering if it's a good idea to visit her or give her space.
What is her first name, please?
Her first name is Clover.
Say again, Clover?
Clover, like the flower.
Okay, great, thanks. Wow. You know, I would, I have a feeling that she'll ask to not see you, but then at the last minute will want to see you. So I would, if you could, in a very neutral way, say, I'm going to be in, you know, near you, and would love to see you if you would like, if you have the time. Just something really simple like that, and just leave it at that. And if she says no and busy or whatever, if you could just stay very open about that, like, oh, sorry to hear that, something like that, it will change. Possibly once you're there, like, she'll contact you and say, you know what, I do want to see you. So she is going through a lot of things. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever. And there's no talking about it because it's not solid enough for her to talk about it. So if you can be very detached from all of this, it's kind of like if you have somebody an extreme example. If someone has cancer, you can't visit them and talk about the cancer. It's just too darn depressing. It's just, there's just no talking about it because you can't do anything about it anyway at the moment. So it's kind of like that, that what she's going through is not material that she can discuss with anybody. So if you could manage to not take it personally and be willing to talk about anything else, you know, wonderful things that you're interested in, fun that you've been having, and just kind of share from your heart stuff that's going on in your life, it, you guys will get closer together again, but it won't be until about the end of January that that will happen. So okay. It's not personal, and I think you mean an awful lot to her, so hopefully you won't pull away. You know, sometimes we get very hurt when people are kind of withdrawing and getting introverted, but I think you, of all people, understand that process, because I think you do that too sometimes.
Yes, I do.
So if you can imagine, if you were in that mood, what would make you feel good? What would feel safe to you when you were in that mood? And give her that same consideration. You'll be fine with her. And don't go into feeling, you know, that you've done something wrong or you wish you could do something more. Just let it be. And it she'll get through it. And then after a while, she will talk to you about what's been going on. She will. But you just got to give her space. So your first instinct is absolutely correct. And you've got a very great perception about people. And you're very good with people who tend to get introverted because you have that in yourself. So I would say to you, use your gifts in this situation, because they are gifts. Not everybody's as sensitive as you are.
Okay, thank you. Because sometimes it's just, I get confused by my own intuition, so it's hard to discern at times.
I totally understand. And that is one reason. It's a great reason to get readings. You know, I've done this when I'm in a lot of trouble myself. I just want to find out from someone else, is this my intuition being correct, or is it my brain swirling around and making up a story? So I totally understand that. But I think that what you're picking up is absolutely accurate. And you do have a lot of emotion around it, so it does get confusing.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very, very much.
All right, sweetness. Thanks for calling, and have a great holiday season.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling. You can find Dr. Nona Marie Foyer at psychicaccess.com. Before we go back to a discussion, I do have a couple of questions I would like to ask some of my co-hosts here. I would also like to pass out the phone number again if you'd like to call in for a free reading. That number is 724-444-4851. Again, it is 724-444-4851. And Lauren, I wanted to ask you a question because you do have some special children. And, you know, you told me some of your parenting strategies in terms of having a sense of humor, in terms of, you know, talking things out and rationalizing and reasoning things through with your children. Can you share with any of our listeners at home any other parenting tips for raising special and gifted children? Maybe share some, I guess, some tales from the trenches from your own experience?
I'd love to. So, literally, with a daughter that is empathic, there is lots of, I call this the empathic kind of cleanse, and that's for anyone. And there's so many people out there that feel other people's stuff, and they get emotionally bogged down, which actually then trickles into their health, the physical side of it. So when you just feel exhausted or you're angry or upset and you don't even know why, I always have my daughter take an Epsom salt bath with baking soda and apple cider vinegar, and you can always put your own favorite essential oil in there too. But it's almost kind of like, I like call it a squeegeeing. It's a squeegeeing of the person's own energy, which is great. That is wonderful. Also, eating clean is really, really important, especially when you have children that are sensitive. Besides us as Americans here that, you know, love to eat a lot of fast food or sugar products. If you actually notice, if you start eating clean or actually even modifying the processed foods and the processed fillers you have, your actually gift is almost tuned in like a fork. It becomes much clearer, and you're actually easier way to discern and actually block things out or kind of filter it.
But what if you're really fond of eating dirty, you know, chicken nuggets, French fry. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm here to preach about the merits of eating dirty. You don't get too much of that.
Oh, believe me, I have a Starbucks crack addiction, so that's we all have ours. So lots of grounding meditation, and a lot of times people go, oh my God, meditating, and you know, that could really just be outside putting your feet in the dirt and like and smacking your feet. And I always tell my children, and I tell this for a lot of people with sensitive kids too, is when they come home from school, if you have a tree in front of your house, almost to touch it, I know this is kind of sound woo-hoo and silly, but almost you're giving all of the things that you've picked up throughout the day back to Mother Nature, to the tree, and it pulls it back down, and you're kind of coming into your house kind of renewed. And every time if you're having any, so if you can kind of look at it as when you're in your home, you're in your home, and anything throughout the day and your personal things or anything you've picked up, it's kind of left outside.
Very interesting.
And I do that a lot for a lot of police officer friends. I've also taught them that like stones, keeping stones in their pockets, especially if you're very sensitive and you pick up a lot of things. Literally, funny story is my daughter, because she's able to see things. Yeah. I did have her. She's in fourth grade now. So last year we had the talk about not telling people, like, you can tell mommy anything you want. You know, this is an open room. You can talk to me. And let's not tell our teachers and other people we don't know that are not comfortable with this information. So when I go into school every year, I tell them, yes, I'm psychic, I'm a medium, my daughter's sensitive, so just in case. But she did tell her teacher last year, the teacher was there's a sub that came in, and she went up and told her, don't worry, the pregnancy problems are going to go away, and you're going to have twins. The teacher was like, I was going in for parent teacher conference, and I said, and I was talking to her, and I said, oh yes, this is my daughter's sensitive, and I was telling her, you know, what I was picking up too, but thank God it was just something like that.
Well, let me ask you this. I was going to ask you, I'm kind of curious about the teachers. I mean, is this something they know about generally, and what their reaction might be? Have you ever encountered any resistance or any iffy teachers, you know, insofar as this is concerned?
No, I don't get any iffy, because what I tell everyone I ever meet and I'm talking to them, so I talk to them just like I would talk to a stranger, that right. I'm not trying to tell you to believe anything. If I do have a message for you and it comes through, I even ask them, may I share this with you? And if it resonates, hold on to it. If it doesn't, throw it away. And that could be from anything. So I tell them, I always tell people, you know, you and God are in the driver's seat. If you don't believe in God, whoever's in the driver's seat is in the driver's seat with you. Your angels are your navigators. And I'm just able to tune into the radio and the navigation system and tell you what I'm hearing and feeling. And it's for you to take yourself where you need to go. So it empowers them. It's not me telling you, oh, please go left, or if you don't do this. It's for you to take it and do what you need to do with your life with it.
You can heed the sign or wind up lost. Thank you very much for those insights, Lauren. Dr. Nona Marie, I wanted to ask you, because, you know, you've probably been an indigo child
your entire life.
You come from a background of activism. And so I want to ask you if you think that this humanitarian link. Well, you know what? We're going to have to table that for another time, Dr. Nona Marie, because Lauren actually has a caller from California.
No problem.
All right.
So, California, hello?
Hi, this is Reggie.
Hi, Reggie. What can I help you with tonight, hon?
Hi. Why is my friend Karen acting so funny?
Oh, I'm sorry, hon. Could you repeat that for me one more time?
Why is my friend Karen acting funny? Acting like she doesn't want to have anything to do with me.
Why is your friend Karen acting funny? So what is... What I'm picking up is, what is the argument you guys just had? I almost feel like it was something that was said. It was almost kind of, almost a comment that I don't think you meant it. Go ahead.
I don't know. She's been pulling away from me lately. I don't know what's up with her.
I literally feel like something that was said, it could have just been in a conversation. It felt like rubbed her the wrong way. It doesn't even have to be you. It's almost like she's moving towards something else. Who's the man in her life? I feel like she just met someone too. So there's someone else pulling in her attention. So it seems like someone else is having her attention, so she's pulling away from you and others to bring this attention over to this gentleman. And it has nothing, it's not a personal thing where she doesn't like you. It just seems like she's literally moving her energy and shifting it over here. I do feel like your friendship is fine. It's just almost tabled a little bit. Like if you were a stove, you now have been put on the back burner a little bit and you don't understand it. Would that be accurate?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. Also around this time, I feel like she definitely gets a little anxiety, or I don't know if it's like a pulling away at holidays. Are holidays hard for her? Because I almost feel like it kind of goes into an introvert state in the holiday time.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, so I mean, I really feel like a lot of worries, financial, also with family. I don't know what there's, I feel like there's a rift there. So it feels like it's not it's not a personal thing. I feel like this is what she does naturally. And it just happens to be you're kind of in tune to her, so you're not understanding. So I would invite you not to take it personal. And, so you just reach out to her and invite her to coffee or dinner or tea or conversation. And leave the door open for her to walk in and out of right now, and
push it. So she met someone else, you think, that she's interested in? Or?
I do feel like she has met someone right now, and that's kind of a little bit of her tensions going that way. But mm-hmm. I definitely feel like there's a very nice friendship here with you and her. And if that's something you would like to, I'm feeling almost like you'd like it to go more, that is something, a conversation that needs to be had.
But she can't be straightforward on this whole thing.
I feel like she knows that you have feelings for her, but it hasn't been almost dialogue that's where you want it to go. So, she likes the friendship. I feel like she doesn't want to intrude on that or have that not be important. So this person that is grabbing her attention, it's almost like, hey, I'm going to go over here for a little bit, but you're still here. You're just not getting the full amount that that she's given you before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I invite you to literally call, invite her out, have a discussion. And if that's something you're interested in being with her, put that on the table and see how that goes.
But she is pushing me away, though.
I definitely feel that she is interested in a friendship right now, and I don't feel like it is. I don't see the connection of the relationship. I really see it as a friendship. So, and if she's met someone else and that's where she's going, then that's where that attention is going, and you're kind of feeling left out, is what I'm getting. So, I mean, I really do invite you to talk to her about that.
Mm-hmm. What should I say?
I would almost say, just your feelings. I never tell someone how to feel, and your feelings coming from you are always going to be genuine and true. But I always, invite people to tell people how they feel. And if it's not reciprocated, then you know what? That's okay. There's someone else out there for you. And if she's a friend, and she's a true friend, then she will reciprocate that in a very friendly way and tell you where she wants us to go.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, hon. You have a wonderful night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling, Reggie, and thank you, Lauren, for that outstanding reading. If you would like a reading from Lauren, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from Ontario. Good evening, Ontario. Thank you for calling.
Hello.
Hello. How may I help you?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you saw any special person or anything coming into my life in the new year.
Okay, one second. Let me pick up on your situation, okay? Will there be someone special coming into his life within the new year?
Are we entering?
Hey, we are open-minded to all possibilities, absolutely. Entering, re-entering, I know exactly what you're asking. You want to know if someone special is going to be there for you in the new year. And you know what? It's not my practice to, you know, just tell people what they want to hear. This is almost going to sound like I'm telling you what you want to hear, but quite coincidentally, yes, there is going to be someone special in the new year. Now, I'm not picking up a picture so much of the other person as I am of you. Do you see? I'm picking up a picture of your reaction to this very question in the beginning part of 2015. Do you see what I'm driving at? So, in other words, I know when we get into the beginning parts of 2015, as far as your love life is concerned, you're going to be satisfied. And it's going to be it's going to be the beginning of something new. And, you know, I'll leave it at that. I'm not quite, you know, ready to say it's going to lead to the altar or be, you know, I'm not saying you guys are going to write each other into, you know, into each other's wills or anything, but I feel quite comfortable saying that you're going to be grinning ear to ear in the early part of 2015. And it is specifically oriented to the emotions, sir, toward domestic matters. In other words, you're not going to, this happiness, this effusive joy that I'm picking up on, it's not because you unfortunately won the lottery or, you know, it's not because you got a promotion at work. It's because it pertains to this question that you called me about tonight. Is someone new going to be in your life? The answer is yes to that question. Unreservedly, undoubtedly.
Do I know this person or no?
I'm thinking not. I'm thinking newness here, brand new. And I'll tell you why I'm thinking that, because I have the ace of the air element at the end of this timeline. So this isn't a familiar friendship. This isn't a familiar conversation. Aces, the numerology of the number one, has to do with newness. So if it is somebody that you know, you're going to be seeing this person through the lens of complete newness, almost like a rebirth. So, you know, that's where we stand on that one. So, you know, but generally I'm thinking...
Do you have like a time frame, like within the next 6-7 months or 3? Earlier? I don't know.
It probably is going to happen within the next... you know, now this part, I'm a little fuzzy on. I'll definitely commit to sooner rather than later, A. Probably not going to be before the new year, B. And it's probably going to be in the very beginning portions of the new year, C. Now, it's quite possible that you'll meet the person just prior to the new year happening or something like that. It's not like a light's going to get switched on. You see what I'm saying? Where you go to bed one day despondent and lonely and you wake up the next day, you know, and it's Full House, you know what I'm saying? A sitcom on TV, you know, White Picket Fence, etc. We're talking, you know, this is an evolution here. So generally speaking, there probably will be 4 or 5 weeks of sheer unadulterated pleasure and happiness that culminates in this satisfaction. And again, I'm interpreting it as you being involved with someone that makes you very happy. So it's going to be the beginning of a relationship, the beginning. And it will still be up to you as to the trajectory that that relationship takes. Okay? So I don't want you to get the impression that that the universe is guaranteeing you love. Future mistakes can be made with the person, you know, and probably will. We're all human after all. But, you know, the experience is going to happen if you want it to happen. You can still choose to decline if you wish. You see. But that's what all I got for you this evening.
Well, that's good. So do you see it happening like in the closer future or the further new year?
I tell you what, I'm thinking closer future significantly. But see, we got to realize for me, closer is definitely a lot different than you. For you, closer is probably like, you know, like tomorrow couldn't be close enough. You know what I'm saying? But for me, closer is like 3 or 4 months. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Now, I tend to be a little conservative on these things because, you know what, if it happens sooner, then nobody's the wiser. Fine, great if it happens sooner. But if it happens a little bit longer, then you're prepared to wait. You see what I'm driving at? So it could happen sooner. It wouldn't surprise me if it happens sooner. But it will happen, and you should be happy about that. It will happen.
Well, I am happy about that. That's great. So
awesome.
It may be somebody I know or... It's brand new.
Yeah, it could be either one. If it is somebody that you know, then you know the person will seem brand new. Or it could be somebody that you know and you haven't seen in a decade or two or whatnot. But I'm thinking the person. I'm getting newness here, in some way, shape, or form. So it's going to be very pleasant for you, sir. It's going to be very pleasant.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays to you.
You too. All right.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was very, very nice. Thank you, sir, for calling us this evening. We have a caller from the beautiful state of California for our resident philosopher and expert, Dr. Nona Marie Foyer.
Hi, California, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, what's your name?
Valerie.
Valerie?
Yes.
Okay, Valerie, what's your question? How can I help you?
Well, I'm new to this, and I saw this on my Facebook, and I thought I'd definitely give a call, and I find this very fascinating. So I just ask a question, and you just...
Yes, that's right. You ask a question, and then all these spirits come zooming into my head and tell me things to tell you.
Okay, Well, what do you foresee in my future? Can it be broad like that?
Well, when we call in for this show, it's like a one question call in scenario. So better to ask something a little bit more focused, like a specific thing about love life or money or a child that you're worried about or things like that.
Okay. I am worried about my middle child, Danielle.
You're worried about one child?
I'm worried about my middle child, Danielle.
Okay. Oh, yes. Okay. So, you know, actually, did you listen to the show, by the way?
No. You know what? I wish I had because I just...
Okay. Well, no problem. It's archived, and you will be able to go to psychicaccesstalkradio.com and look up tonight's show and listen to it because it is all about gifted children. And she is actually a super sensitive child and could use a little bit of help on how to handle all of that input that she's getting from other sources other than the earth plane. It would be fabulous. I don't know if she would take it from you, the advice, but if you could let it be known that, you know how you can kind of talk to people, like say you talk to them about how you're eating healthy in the hopes that they'll take the hint about eating healthy, that if you talk to her about spiritual development, about how having sensitivities, that sometimes we can pick up other thought forms, we can pick up thoughts of other spirits, and that can really throw us off quite a bit unless we learn how to handle that. That would be a great discussion to have with her when you find the right time to do it. In other words, not to just seek her out and kind of sit her down and talk to her about it, but just like you're sharing about that information. It does feel to me like she is fairly unstable right now. And it also does feel to me there is nothing you can do directly for her until she comes to you for help, which she very well may do, but it won't be until March of next year. But in the meantime, if you can open the door by simply sharing experiences or stories about people with gifts and people who hear voices or people who pick up the feelings of other people, then that these are real skills and real talents, but they take some handling, you could start a conversation with her earlier than March. I'll tell you this, in the long run, she is going to come through just fine. She is. She will be walking through a wall of fire, or maybe it would be better to say she'll be doing like a fire walk, because when you do a fire walk, it looks like you're going to die and you're fine. But it does look awful. It's like, oh my God, bare feet on these hot coals with flames coming up. So it's going to be more like that. And it will be harder in a sense for you watching it than her going through it. So she will make it in the long run. But the more you can open up that conversation for her, the better. Does that make sense what I'm telling you? Do you understanding what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying to you?
Yes.
Yeah. I would also say this to you, too. She's in your life for a reason. And you actually have quite a bit of psychic skill yourself, a very predictive in some ways that you haven't, which is a tough one to have when you know things are going to happen and you can't say or do anything about it because it's not in your control. I believe she is in your life to also kind of force you to look into your own special talents as well. The more you develop that,
the more it will set kind of a model for her, and the closer you guys will be able to get because of that.
That's good to know. Yes, you're right.
So if you can, you know, there's a wonderful website called Meetup, and it's free, and it shows groups usually within 25 miles of your zip code. And you put in something like meditation or developing intuition or highly sensitive people, and you will find groups in your area. Then they usually charge somewhere between $10 and $20, or sometimes they're free, because it's a place for like-minded people to get together. And you might look for that both for your, you know, for yourself, and then you might also be able to invite your daughter to something as well. And it's very supportive to find stuff locally in your area to help you develop your own talents and skills and go shopping that way. I think you'll find something very interesting there for you. If you want a generalized reading about, you know, like what's my life, what's going on, et cetera, you can go to psychicaccess.com and you create an account there, and then you can take your pick of psychics. We have wonderful people that work there. Their schedules are always posted, and you can find us there and get a longer reading. If you found this helpful, hopefully you'll come to the site and continue to get some visits when you need some support. And sometimes we just need reassurance that we're going in the right direction. It can be very helpful.
So psychiccircles.com?
Psychic Access.
Oh, Access.
Is A-C-E-S-S. It's like Psychic Access Talk Radio. It's just psychicaccess.com.
Okay. And then the other one, you said Lydia or Lita?
Meetup. Like going to a meeting, M-E-E-T-U-P, one word, meetup.com.
Gotcha. Okay. That sounds good.
All right, sweetness. Thanks for calling, and have a great holiday, and she's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. It'll just be hard for a while.
Okay, thank you so much. You have a great day. Thanks again.
You too. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much for calling, and thank you for that reading, Dr. Nona Marie. And you can find her at psychicaccess.com. That's psychic, A-C-C-E-S-S.com. And now we actually have a caller from the Tar Heel State, North Carolina, for Lauren.
Hello, North Carolina. Who am I speaking with?
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry, what was that, sweetie? Hello? I think I lost her. I don't hear her at all.
Okay, we'll see. Hold on. I don't know if she may still be there or not. We're gonna see here in a second, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, now I think we lost North Carolina, unfortunately. Thanks, though, for showing up there, Lauren. You are ready to do that reading. We're going to have to postpone until next week. So if you would like to get a reading from Lauren, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. And just like you can find any one of us at psychicaccess.com. But that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. We'd like to thank Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. A big thanks to my co-hosts and also to the guest tonight, Layla Briggs. I've had a very fascinating topic. Next week, world-renowned philosopher, translator, astrologer, and magician Benjamin Dykes, PhD, will be here to discuss the Time Lords, a complex hierarchy of super-celestial beings that steer and direct the course of an individual's life from cradle to grave. Not a minute of one's life goes by without some sort of influence of these super-celestial beings. You will not want to miss that, Dr. Benjamin Dykes, next week. Everybody, have a wonderful week. We will see you next Thursday. Bye-bye.
Hello, my name is Rez Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.